You're tuning in to the Our Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Mark challenges us that God doesn't want us to look back or to start over. What he wants from us is to start new.
Hey, we're going to be in Philippians. We're going to start off in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 16. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 16. Lisa, if you could read that for us.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained.
Amen. And something God's just put on my heart is don't start over, start new. Don't start over, start new. And when you look at this scripture, Paul is talking about, you know, some versions say, I want to know the power of God's of Jesus' resurrection. Come on, he even said, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. How many people say that? Like, I really want to know the fellowship of Jesus' suffering. How many of us signed up for that? Whether you realized it or not, you signed up for it. Newsflash. Man, and he says, not that I've already obtained all of this that he wanted to obtain for Christ. And I like what he says, or have become perfect, meaning I've achieved all I need to achieve. He says, here's what I do. I press forward. I don't regard myself as having hold it, but I press forward. And we talked about perseverance last week and pressing forward. And he was talking about how he could take the things, forget the things that were behind him, and look forward. How many of us need to do that? Forget some things that are behind and look forward, press towards the goal, and the goal is Christ, the upward call of Jesus Christ. And like in verse 15, he says, and therefore let all as many that are perfect have this attitude. So what does that mean? He's like, okay, this is the perfect mindset that you're supposed to have. The mindset we're supposed to have is, in Christ, I'm perfect right now, and I still got more growing to do. In Christ, I'm perfect right now, and I still have more growing to do. No different than a child. Man, you can have a perfect five-year-old. That doesn't mean they're done growing, right? At age 20, they shouldn't be acting five. That's not perfect. But at five, they should be acting five. So they're a perfect five-year-old. My son's a perfect 14-year-old. He acts just like a 14-year-old. I've taken a survey. But he still has more growing to do. So he has not achieved all there is to achieve. But right now, I'm good with him. So we shouldn't be insecure. Like, man, God's good with me now, and I still got more growing to do. And he actually says, let all who are perfect have this mindset that I haven't fully achieved, but I'm still pressing towards the goal. Let's talk about this for a moment. Many people, we ever get a revelation sometimes of where you are and where God is, and you're not in the same place. And maybe in certain areas of your life, you're not in the same place. And very often when we get that revelation that we're not in the same place that God is, we begin to feel guilty, right? And because this flood of guilt comes in, the first thing we think of is, okay, now I need to start over. Well, the goal is not to start over. The goal is to be new. God doesn't, all he wants from you is to be new now. See, starting over means going back to the beginning, right? Going back to the beginning and trying to be what you were, or try to repair something, or trying to get back something you think you lost, or trying to fix something that was broken. But God doesn't want to do that. Man, the scripture that's been in my head all week is about in Jeremiah. We talk about the potter and the clay. And he says, the potter is working with the clay, and then when it gets marred, he doesn't go back. He doesn't continue making what he was making. He starts making something new. And the same thing for us. God wants you to be new. He doesn't want you to start over and go all the way back to the beginning and try to do it all over again. God is about making new stuff and creating new things in us. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 through 27.
Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and I will be, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and I will be careful to and you will be careful to observe my ordinances.
I love, if you go through the scripture, all of the I wills. Notice I wills, meaning God says he's going to do this. I will, I will, I will. But look at the language that he's using. In verse 25, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you all your filthiness and all your idols. That word idols has really been jumping out to me even since we talked about it last week. And an idol is anything that God has created that you have put your hope in. An idol is anything that God has created that you put your hope in. So if you put your hope in your marriage, you made an idol. You put a hope in your children, you made an idol. You put a hope in your job, you made an idol. If it's created, you should not put your hope in it. Because the definition of hope, when we talked about it last week, the definition of hope is someone or something in which everything is centered. If it's created, you should not put your hope in it. Your hope should be in one only, the Creator. And Romans 1 said, when they started to worship the creation more than the Creator, they began to go backwards and not forward, began to believe a lie instead of the truth. Come on, this one, I've just been meditating on that all week. What in your life right now have you put your hope in? I guarantee you, you can find it because it's an area of frustration, an area of disappointment, or an area of offense. Most of the reasons couples argue with each other is because they put their hope in the other person instead of in God. And you want this person to be something they were never designed to be. The one that meets all your needs and the one that sustains your happiness. But if your hope is in God, why are you upset? See, we gotta live in revelation and change. How many things do you put your hope in? Right? And how does it affect you? I always laugh at some of the silly things we do, especially in like relationships, kind of my wheelhouse. And you ever had the situation, or maybe you know somebody that had the situation where, you know, a spouse said they were going to be home by a certain time, and they were like maybe an hour late or 15 minutes late or 30 minutes late. Now, when they're late, you're getting all worried about them. Where are you at? You know, you're worried, you can't, maybe their phone's not working, they're not picking up, and you are so worried about them. I hope they're alive. I hope they didn't get hurt. And then when they come home, you upset. Now I ain't talking to you. I'm hope you're alive so I can give you this cold shoulder because you can't feel it from the grave. But why are you so upset? Yeah, I know you were worried, but why? You got to drill down to the why of everything. Your hope can't be in them. Sad to say, someday they might not come home. Your hope can't be in them. You can remorse, but your hope has to be in God. Your hope cannot be in your church. Your hope can't be in the pastor. Your hope has to be in God. Anything created, we cannot put our hope in. How much different would we be if everyone put their hope in God and God only? How radically different. See, when we read this Bible, that's what he talks about. He said, why are there fights and quarrels among you? You want because you want and you can't have. And you want it for yourself. You don't even want it for God reasons. You want it for yourself. And you might want some good things. Don't listen to me. There's things on this earth that we can enjoy, but none of it was meant to provide our joy. I'll say that again. There's things on this earth that we can enjoy, but none of it was meant to provide our joy. But I guarantee you, make a list, and you'll find the idols that snuck in those areas where you put your hope in it, and it has the ability to dominate your day and ruin your demeanor and affect your attitude. That means you put your hope in the wrong place. But what does that look like, Pastor? What does that look like? I mean, he came home late. He's supposed to have been home on time. How can I put my, you know what? He comes home. She comes home. 20 minutes late. You say, man, I'm glad you're home. Good to see you. Let's have dinner. Thank God you made it. Because my hope's in God. Now, we can talk about it later. Don't try to talk about it in the moment. We can talk about it later. Like, honey, in the future. I'm so glad God brought you home the other day. But in the future, can you call me? Because the time you spend giving each other the cold shoulder, you don't get back. And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we give that away. And that's just one example. But how many times you waste time worrying because your hope's in the wrong thing? So he says, I've come to cleanse you from all your idols. All of your idols. Moreover, he says, I want to put a new spirit in you. A new spirit. Now, a new spirit is not the same thing as my spirit. Because he says, I'm also going to give you my spirit. But he says, first I'm going to give you a new spirit. When you see the word new spirit, that's talking about your thought process. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples when they saw some people casting out demons, say, Lord, you want us to call down thunder? He says, you know not what spirit you are. He's talking about your thought process. Think about it. I'm going to show you this. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16 that we have the mind of Christ. Christ, who is the Word of God. And Jesus said, my words are spirit, and my word is life, right? Now, the Bible says, let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Words change your thought process and affect your spirit, right? Just still your mind for as much as you can. Flowers. See, some people smile because they thought of flowers. Even some men. Like, yeah. Beach. Food. Vomit. Oh, see how the word affected you? Somebody ran out the door. So he's saying, look, I'm going to change your thought process he's going to give you his word, and his word changes your thought process. He's going to change the way you view life, change the way you view God, change the way you view things. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. He says, then I'm going to give you a new heart. Remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Man, he's doing a heart transplant in us. But see, what happens? Your thoughts eventually affect your heart. Right? Your thoughts eventually affect your heart. And then as it affects your heart, eventually it comes out because the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. So when the heart gets overflowed when the mind gets overflowed with the word gets into the heart. And when the heart gets overflowed with the word, even when you stump your toe, the word comes out. Praise God. Had those praise God moments in the middle of the night. You're trying to go to the bathroom. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. He says, I want to get rid of that heart of stone. And a heart of stone is a heart that's hardened towards the things of God. A heart of stone is not insensitive, it's people sensitive, right? Like, here's the con: when people are people sensitive, their mindset is, they want, they said, they might. I don't want them to be upset with me. I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to upset them. So I have a heart that's sensitive, but it's a hardened heart because it's not sensitive to God. It's sensitive to people. The worst thing you become is sensitive to people, but also you're sensitive to yourself. Use words like, I don't want to. I don't think. I think or I feel or I don't feel. Now, not just that you don't want to do something, is that you're not willing to do something. God is not looking for wanting workers. He's looking for willing workers, right? Because there's many of things for God I don't want to do. It wasn't my idea to stand up in front of people and preach and let them criticize you. I don't like that. I don't want that. I'm willing. So he's not looking for wanting people, but a lot of times the self, that hardened heart is so focused on self that it's all about what I feel, what I feel, what I think, what I think, what other people think, what other people say, what other people do. It's not the heart that's sensitive to God. See, that's me saying I'm gonna give you a heart of flesh. He calls it a heart of flesh because it's so sensitive to God that when God touches you, it's just as real as when I touched your best. So sensitive to God, like, man, when something breaks God's heart, it breaks yours. You ever, man, if you, I don't know if you've ever seen that or experienced that, when, man, something just, you're crying because something broke God's heart. There should be certain things that, man, I love what he loves, but then there's some things that also make me angry because I hate what he hates. He said, I want to get your heart that's so sensitive that the only thing that matters is not how I feel, but how God feels or what God says. That's all that matters. So he said, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And then he says, I will put my spirit in you. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit, that I will put my spirit in you. So I've already changed your mind. I changed how you think about me. I'm doing a work in your heart. I swapped that heart out. Now I give you a heart that's sensitive, and now I'm going to give you my spirit. Now, when we talk about the spirit, God is saying he's going to give you, the scripture says, Jesus. This is John the Baptist baptized with water, but Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has been, a lot of times people have mixed their own theology in with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, you can encounter the Holy Spirit in multiple ways. Yes, I believe you can lay hands on somebody and they receive the Holy Spirit because I read that in the scripture, right? I also believe there are some other steps in which people have encountered the Holy Spirit in church and such. But I think Jesus gives a very practical step in John 14. Get a chance, write that down, John 14. He says, if any man would love me, he will obey my commands. And I will come to him and reveal myself to him. And if you read John 14, he's talking about the Holy Spirit in John 14 and 15. And then he says it again. He says, if any man would love me, he'll obey my commands, the Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. So, if God is coming to make his home with you, well, what is God? Spirit. There's no bones coming to make homes with you. There's no flesh and blood coming to make home with you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit in John 14. Read it for yourself. And when the Holy Spirit comes and makes his home with you, he doesn't fit in your chest. When God comes and makes his home on you or with you, you are now drowned in God. Just like right now, you're in this building. People from the outside see the building. They don't see you. When the Holy Spirit comes, who's bigger than this building, and he makes his home with you, you are now saturated in the Holy Spirit. You are now baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the evidence? a changed life. I believe in all the gifts as a sign, but I've seen people speak in tongues who don't live right. So that ain't good enough proof. I've seen people prophesy and preach who don't live right. Now, I never heard Jesus speak in tongues, but he had a different life. But I believe in all the gifts. Have some of them. Know people that have plenty of them. But I don't ever gauge somebody's gifting by what they do. I don't gauge their baptism of the Holy Spirit living with them by the fact that they can speak in tongues or prophesy or preach or play music. Can you live right? Because the main thing the Holy Spirit came to do was to help you live right, convict the world of sin and righteousness. If you can't live right, I don't think he lives with you. He might visit you from time to time, but he has not made his home with you. Like in John chapter 14, he says, those who love me, I live with. You don't need that man. He will visit whoever he wants to visit whenever he wants to visit. He visited a donkey in the Old Testament, and he gave a word. God says, if y'all don't praise, I'll visit the rocks, and they'll sing worship. He can visit, man, he visited Saul. He visited Balaam. He lived with Jesus, and he lives with us, and he changes our lives. And sometimes if you're stuck in a spot and you wonder why you can't get by the spot, you got to ask, where's the Holy Spirit in my life? Because I don't believe you can encounter the Holy Spirit and live with the Holy Spirit, and he lives with you, and it doesn't change the way you live. Who's married? Has living with your spouse changed the way you live? Permanently. So how can you live with God, who's bigger than your spouse, and there's no permanent changes? There's certain things I don't even dare bring in the house because I've been changed. Right? Are we doing all right? So now when the Holy Spirit comes, I can't tell you exactly how it's going to be experienced for you. All I can tell you is he changed everything for me. I felt my help come. I remember when I first got saved, man, I was just trying not to curse. Had my swear jar. Trying. I'm the same guy. I just gave up sex. I'm the same guy, and I could feel myself laboring. But when the Holy Spirit came and made his home with me, everything changed. I'm not the same guy. I'm a different person. Language, I didn't have to try no more. Because here's what happens. When the Holy Spirit makes his home with you, the love of God is now shed abroad in your heart. And when love comes, like he said, remember he said, I'll give you my spirit and it will cause you to obey me. When the love of God comes upon you and sheds abroad in your heart, it causes you to obey God, but not by force, but by love. Law. When you follow by law, you live by, I better not do this or else. But when you do things by love, you say, how can I not do this for them? Love brings obligations. Love brings obligations. Think about it. If you have a loved one and they need you, it brings an obligation to help them. How could I not? The furthest thing from your mind is not helping them. Love brings an obligation. And even in loving relationships, we politely command each other all the time. Hey, go get that. They only say please. And guess what you do? You go get it. Why? Because of love. They ain't afraid. Well, some people might be. But love brings obligations. And that's what Romans 8 says. Therefore, we have an obligation. But not to the flesh to live in accord to this, but to the Spirit of God. Why do we have an obligation? Because we so love God. How can I not? Remember Joseph? When Potiphar's wife was trying to sleep with him? He was like, man, how can I do this against God? There was no law for Joseph. And this dude went through it. As good as God has been to me. How can I do this against God? Love brings obligations. We following? So that's what he's saying. When I give you a new heart, put my spirit in you, you won't do it by law. I told you before, law makes you do the bare minimum. Love makes you go the extra mile. Right? We just came off Mother's Day. If you loved your mama, you went the extra mile. If you did it by law, you went to the dollar store. So understand, when he says, I want to give you a new life starts in any area of my life when I commit to submit that area to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Please, can you read that for us?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come.
The old have passed away. Now, that's just not the old bad stuff. Some of the old good stuff has passed away too. Because sometimes we can be stuck in the remember wins. Oh, remember how good it was. Let's go back to how good it was. Oh, why is it not like it used to be? Oh, there are people who used to be a part of a ministry with me called Friday Night Fire. They was like, yeah, it's not. This is not like it was at Friday Night Fire, because this ain't Friday Night Fire. That's old. It was good, but it's old. If we tried to reproduce Friday Night Fire here, it'd be a mess. The old is gone, but I got to be willing to look past my old failures and my old successes and be new. God, what are you doing right now? Forget yesterday's failure. And first of all, before you label it a failure, make sure God labeled it a failure. Because I don't see too many times in Scripture where God called somebody a failure. Now, if you knew right and did wrong, that wasn't called failure, that's called sin. But a lot of times we call things failure. It's there are areas we set up in our lives that we have not achieved. I don't read enough, I fail. Well, you set your own parameter for how much you want to read. You're not failing God, you're just failing yourself, but you ain't failing God. Oh, man, hey, I got this thing in my phone. In the morning, I got time with Jesus, and I'm good with that. I got one in the evening called Walk with Jesus, where I get on an exercise machine. I don't be walking with Jesus. Now, if I condemn myself, I'd be like, oh, I failed. God is so disappointed in me. God didn't tell me to put that in there. I put it in there. I talk with Jesus. I just ain't walking. But sometimes we set up things and we label them failures, and God didn't. So make sure when you call it failure or you feel something saying it's failure, make sure you get a word that God said the same thing and let God be true. Because sometimes we have made this walk harder than it needs to be. There are great boundaries in our life. But we live in a life of revelation and repentance. Sometimes God's going to reveal to you areas where you need to grow. That is not failure, that's growth. Got it? Revealed sin is growth. Repeated sin is rebellion. Got that? So we don't live in revelation and repetition. We live in revelation and repentance. But keep the paradigm. That's no different than you do in any relationship in your life. The people you're in relationship with will unintentionally do stuff to get under your skin. Once it's revealed, because of love, they don't repeat it. If they keep repeating it, then there's something wrong in the relationship. Are we following? So I want to encourage you that we're not failures. We're the children of God. And here's what happens. The enemy gets caught up in us, in our minds, and causes failures. And then when we feel like we failed, we stare at yesterday. And we're like, oh, man. I got so far away from where I was. I need to go back. How to go back? And then we'll do some stuff that's just not realistic. We try to, like, eat a buffet of all we didn't do. You know what? Now I'm going to read the Bible for 10 hours a day to make up for I didn't have quiet time. No. You can try it. You probably won't last. And some of y'all looking, y'all know, like, I've done it. I've tried that. It's almost like I got to pay penance now. I got to make up for it. I know God, sometimes God forgives us way too easily. So we can I remember people just had meetings with me and come and confess a sin because they wanted me to they would hear me preach real passionate. And they were like, man, I ain't feeling bad enough. Let me go see Pastor Mark. And think when they come to me, I'm going bust a chair over their back. And they're like, oh, thanks, Pastor. I'm on the right track now. And most times I don't have it. Most of them I give them a hug and be like, hey, ready to move forward? I'm like, that's it. If God forgive you, I got nothing else for you. But sometimes that's not enough for us. So we say, well, I got to put myself through some kind of torture to make sure God knows I'm really sorry. I'm talking to the right crowd. But God is like, no, I don't need you to go back and fix anything. Be new now. Some of the stuff that's gone is gone. Be new now. My wife is going through healing for all the abuse and stuff she's gone through. And as she changes, it changes our house. And now, I didn't like change. So I'm like, why can't we go back to the way things were? Without the bondage. I like the old marriage, but God's like, I need something new. So our marriage is just new. Sometimes we just got to scrap the old marriage. What are we doing now? If we're all growing, something new. We don't have to go back. Hey, wherever your walk was, you don't need to go back. Be new right now. Like the potter on the wheel. I'm going to make something new, and I'm going to make something that's useful for God. Man, you haven't screwed it up. You're not strong enough to screw up the will of God. If he says, look, when you love me, I can take all that old stuff and work it for your good, that's him working the wheel. God is outside of time, y'all. So when the new comes, it's like he takes that past that had you heading towards destruction, and because he's outside of time, he says, now I'm just going to move some pieces and work it for their good. That's how awesome God is. Be new. Don't start over. Don't start over. A lot of times we're probably arguing because we're trying to get back. We're frustrated because we're trying to get back. Don't try to get back. Move forward. Move forward. Be new right now. I want you to embrace something because the enemy keeps just looking at yesterday, and I want you to embrace this new thing called today. I'm serious. Jesus, the Bible even says in Hebrews 4:7, again, he fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as been said before, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 3:12-13, take care, brethren, that there not be anyone in you who has an evil unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today. That's why we have the encouragement cards. As long as it's called today, encourage somebody. That man, it ain't over. You can move forward. You can be new right now. You can get a clean sheet of paper. God does not give you the old book full of the old writing and say, okay, now go back and fix all the stuff. He's like, no, I give you a fresh sheet of paper to write a new story. Now, here's wisdom. When God gives you a fresh sheet of paper to write the new story, remember how the old story got messed up. You wrote it. So when God gives you a fresh sheet of paper, you give that paper right back to God and say, God, you write my story. Because the Bible says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. Understand that? But as long as it's today, so that none of you have, he says, the deceitfulness of sin, he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Daddy, can you just come on up? So the word God has for us is to be new. And you know, stop trying to play catch up. Stop. Think about this, how crazy it is. We try to play catch up by going back. Sometimes we try to play catch up by going backwards. That doesn't even make any sense. And I've never been really like book smart. I've been street smart, but playing catch up by going backwards. I'm going to catch up to you, Justin, but I'm going to catch up to you. You only catch up if you think you need to catch up, which you don't, because once you repent, give your life to Christ, you caught up. But even in the natural, if I want to catch where Justin is, shouldn't I be moving towards him? If you want to be where God is, just keep moving towards him. See, that's the perfect Christian. Revelation, repentance, be new. That's it. Revelation, repentance, be new. Remember the prodigal son? He had his story all worked out. Oh, I'm going to go tell the father, and I got this one. I'm going to let him know. I really messed up. I've been out here. I sinned against you. And the father didn't even let him finish that little sad story. Stand up, Jabez. Well, he just moved towards the father that said that while he was a ways off, he hadn't even arrived to the father saw him while he was a ways off. Isn't it encouraging that he was looking for him? And the father runs. He didn't care about the story. He's about to write a new one. I don't need your sad story. I don't care why you went away. I don't care why you got off track. I'm just glad you're back. I'm just glad you're home. Come on, son. He never had a robe before. Now he got a new robe and a new ring. Got to go in and eat at dad's table. His dad didn't say, now go back and make up for all the wrong you did.
TryOurChurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through text to give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.